When have you been a part of a surprise party? Think about it for a moment. A surprise birthday party, a surprise anniversary, some kind of plan that you maybe made for a surprise. When was that? How was that? What about the anticipation that comes along with that? When you're the one planning the surprise party, you're the one with kind of just waiting for everybody to arrive and trying to surprise that person. Maybe you've been the one that has been surprised at times. I think throughout Scripture, there's a lot of parties that happen and celebrations. Throughout the Old Testament, there's tons of celebrations that take place. And so today we want to celebrate God's love in a sense of communion, but then also a way that he showed his love for us. But one of the haunting questions that was out there, and I'm going to see if I can make this work. Is there a special button for this too? A haunting question that came up over and over again amongst the religious people and the religious leaders, it's found in a party chapter, a chapter filled with parties. And so that's why we kind of wanted communion first, because this is all about partying, but we'll tie it all together. Hopefully by the end, it'll all make sense for you. But the whole idea of this question right here, because it says in chapter 15 of Luke, it says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complain. I guess it's coming up here too. Complain. That he was associating with these sinful people and eating with them. So Jesus told them some stories, some parables. And so this haunting question was the one that it comes up over and over again in each one of these stories that he began to tell to them. He tells his first story. I'm going to let you run it from back there. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't the one who I can't read it up there. It's wiggly. I'll try over here. Elvin does such a good job with this, you know. So, loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. We're going to pause there. The sheep, the shepherd, he was in charge of the sheep. There's probably more than one guy out there usually. There's maybe two or three. But the sheep were a part of the village, like they owned it. And so it was really important for them. These sheep were their livelihood in a sense. And so then he goes on to say, and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors and together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. You see, if he didn't bring the sheep home, he had to either bring home the hide or the live sheep over his shoulders. And so he had to prove that he was doing his job, because these sheep were stupid, they would wander off. And so he went out and found this lost sheep. He searched for it and found it. And when he got back home, he said, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. In other words, party with me. Rejoice with me, celebrate with me, because I'm going to go back a little ways. In the same way, there is so much joy in heaven when one lost sinner begins to repent and returns to God. And then over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. And so that is a part of it. So when he gets home, because of this, Jesus is kind of saying, there's when one lost is found, I am going to celebrate. And so I think it's really important for us to realize that. Rejoice with me, it's party time. Now we'll go back to that slide. It's party time. Because they were rejoicing over the fact that God, this sheep was found, and God is kind of saying, there's so much in heaven rejoicing over one lost sinner. And so I think it's important to understand that there's a party that breaks out in heaven when one lost sheep was found, when one lost soul is found. There's a party that breaks out. The next one goes on then to say the parable of the lost coin, because again, he's answering that same question that was back at the beginning. You know, why are you spending time with these people? Why are you spending time with these sinners? And Jesus says, okay, you get that one story. I'm going to tell you another story then, it says. And suppose a woman has lost her 10 silver coins and loses one. And doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Again, the house was dark in those days. They didn't have a lot of windows. They might have one little round window to let light in. The floors were dirt, so it was hard for her to find this coin. But the coin was really valuable to her because in many ways it would show that she had been saving up. Sometimes if you had 10 coins in your crown, you're ready for marriage. So that's the romantic side of it. The other side was they didn't have banks back then, and they didn't have mattresses to tuck their money under, but she was saving her money, and she lost 1/10 of it, which was a big deal. So when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost coin." And again, it says, it's party time, because I want to celebrate the fact. And then Jesus goes, and then as Luke writes it, he says, "Rejoice with me because I have found this coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God and the angels in even one sinner repents." So again, he's kind of going back and says, you know, I came for this reason. I sent the baby Jesus on Christmas Day, but then he grew to be a man who then gave his life on the cross so that you and I could enjoy salvation. And in this case, it's over one sinner who repents. There's a party that breaks out in heaven. So think about that as we go through this. So then he gets to the next story. He says, okay, if you didn't get that one, I'm going to illustrate this point further. Jesus says to them in this story, a man had two sons. And the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the young son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth while living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen from that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. This is a very familiar passage to everybody. These three stories oftentimes end up in three different sermons. But in this one, it's always going back and answering that one question. Why is he hanging out with them? So he longed to fill his stomach with the pods of the pigs that were eating. But no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like the one that your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way away, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven, and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. But the father, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate, and the party breaks out." This particular passage really then kind of keys in on okay, do you guys get it? Do you get why I celebrate in heaven? There's a celebration that breaks out when someone gives their heart to Christ. And what he wanted them to do is to realize, this is my purpose. This is why I sent my son Jesus to come to earth. It was to cause parties in heaven, yes. It was for us as sinners to be saved. It was for us to be able to be a part of the kingdom of God. The reason I think the angels break out in dancing is because they know what heaven's all about. It says the angels start to celebrate when one person gives their heart to Christ because they know what they were saved from. They know that he, God, sent his son to bring salvation to each one of us. I think Charles Spurgeon sums it up really well in this one, and it's been written 100 years ago, so it's a little awkward English sometimes, but there are Christmas days in heaven where Christ's highest mass is kept. And Christ is not glorified because he was born in a manger, but because he was born in a broken heart. And these are the days when the shepherd brings home the lost sheep upon his shoulders, when the church has swept her house and has found the lost piece of money. For then are these friends and neighbors called together, and they rejoice in heaven, unspeakably fully of glory over a sinner who repents. When you think about it, it's that one person that gives their heart to Christ. At Mount Olive, we often talk about pray for four, and who are the four people you're praying for? So as you think about this new year coming upon us, what's that gonna be like? For some of you, the party might break out this year for you as a person, because you're gonna ask Jesus Christ to be a part of your life. For others, you're gonna see others of your friends accept Christ, and the party will break out in heaven. And again, that party happens because a heart, a sinner's heart, has been turned towards God. And so I know my party date was back in March of 1972, which some of you are like, wow, that's really old. And so that gives away some of my age. But when we celebrated communion, that's what we were asking you to remember, your day of salvation. The day that the party broke out in heaven because of your life being turned over to him. But for others, it might still be times to come. Your party might still be in the planning stage. But the angels know it. Jesus knows it. He knows when that time is going to come. So think about that over the next while. And really, when it comes down to it, it's pretty simple sometimes. When you think about when the Titanic sunk and went down, there's 22,000 people on that ship, they say. On shore, there was a sign that was posted at the end with a list of people. And one list said saved. In other words, they were found. And the other said lost. And sometimes in scripture, it talks about saved and lost as well. Are you a saved person? Have you given your heart to Christ? Or are you in that process of saying, I don't know. I don't know if I want to believe in Jesus Christ. But I think as you go through this new year, those are some questions that should haunt us in a sense of saying, where are we at with this? Where are we going to be? When will our party time be? Or has our party already happened in a sense of us giving our heart to Christ and then moving on to the saying, well, what about my friends? Why am I spending time with those that don't know Jesus Christ? And it's because that's what Jesus did. He modeled that for us in these chapters, in this chapter of chapter 15, where over and over again, he was trying to tell these religious leaders, this is what it's all about. This is why I came. I came so that you might know me personally, that others might know me personally. And that's why Jesus came. God sent his son, his only son, to come, to live amongst us, to die for us so that we might have salvation. So over this year, think about who you're gonna be praying for. Think about your own salvation. Celebrate that on a regular basis, your relationship with Jesus Christ that really matters. And then go forward from there. Let me close in a word of prayer, and then we're off and running to a new year. Lord, we thank you We thank you for your love, for your care for us. We thank you for sending Jesus to be a little baby in a manger. And we thank you for the life that you've set before us. As we strive to live and grow, may we always remember to share your love with others as you have shared your love with us. So as we celebrate this day and move into a new year, we ask that we'd be remembering you and all that you've done for us. Amen.